Are you ready to finally finish that book draft or revision? Are you itching to learn new tools or frameworks to make the writing process easier? Are you looking for a side gig to add to your repertoire? Author Accelerator's Book Coach Certification Program is a robust and exciting way to learn new writing and publishing skills. Their certification course in fiction or nonfiction includes hundreds of hours of video lessons, workshops, and practice exercises, all about researching the marketplace, querying agents, project management for your book idea, and more. They're great, and I say that as someone who's done this. Many writers come to the program looking to up their writing game. Writer and certified book coach Trevor Brooks says, "This course changed my life. I feel more confident than ever in my ability to develop a manuscript as both a writer and a coach that will attract the attention of an agent and a publisher." So, if you're ready to try something new and join a community of writers and book coaches helping writers, visit authoraccelerator.com/writing to learn more.
Is it recording?
Now it's recording.
Yay.
Go ahead.
This is the part where I stare blankly at the microphone. Try to remember what I'm supposed to be doing.
All right, let's start over.
Awkward pause.
I'm going to rustle some papers.
Okay.
Now 1, 2, 3.
KJ Delatonia, and this is hashtag #AmWriting. And when I said, hey, Jess looked up at me on the Zoom screen as though I had just greeted her with great startle. As you know, I hope, we are the weekly podcast about writing all the things, short things, long things, fiction, nonfiction, pitches, proposals. We're the podcast about sitting down and getting your writing work done.
I'm Jess Leahy. I'm the author of The Gift of Failure and The Addiction Inoculation, and you can find my other work over at The New York Times and The Washington Post and The Atlantic, and currently, right now, I am working on some fiction.
Cool. I am KJ. I don't know why I said that.
It is cool.
Because I'm a dork. It is cool. We're going to be dorky today. Mm-hmm. That's going to sum this up. I am KJ Delantonia. I am the author of the novels The Chicken Sisters, In Her Boots, and the forthcoming, this is my first time of saying this, Playing the Witch Card, which should be, I think, I hope, we'll see, out in the fall of 2023. So, you know, definitely hold your breath. That's hardly any time at all, or at least it won't feel like that. I am also the author of the nonfiction book How to Be a Happier Parent and a former editor at the New York Times.
I'm so in love with that title, and I'm so happy to hear it said out loud. I've only seen it in texts and things like that, but it's a really good title.
It's a really good title. And man, that makes a difference. It really does. Yep. When you have a title that grabs people, it just sets things right up. And watch for a forthcoming episode that we want to do with Serena about the importance of titles and hooks for getting people in. But that's not the topic we're going to talk about today. Today we are talking about NaNoWriMo.
NaNoWriMo.
And why you should do it. And why Jess is doing it and how to do it your very, very, very best, and why I am sad because I can't do it this year. But
I have been a fan of NaNoWriMo for a very long time, since before it was really popular. It was when I was teaching middle school, I found out about this thing called NaNoWriMo, and I didn't know if I'd have the ability to do it, but they were also running a youth version of it and did it with my students. And it was one of the most fulfilling projects that we've ever done together. In fact, I still remember this one student coming in after like day two or three and saying, "It's like I'm reading a book. I'm all caught up in it, except I'm the one writing it." And it was just, it was their first, you know, there's so much of that, of the really planned and, you know, structured nonfiction writing that students are expected to do in school, which is great, and I'm all for that, but they don't often get the opportunity to just let loose. And I have to say, one of my favorite exercises that we used to do as we were sort of planning how it would work, and no, they did not do 50,000 words. They made up their own sort of word count goal. But one of the things we used to do was I would print out this picture of a big button, like the no button that you have, KJ, that like where you hit it and it says no. I had a picture of a button like that, and it just said editor on it, and you had to smash it and turn off your inner editor because they would get so caught up in fixing things that they had a lot of trouble moving forward. Anyway, so my first real experience with NaNoWriMo was helping kids do NaNoWriMo. And the kids who finished it and achieved their goals, and the way it also worked is they had we had like a classroom set up so that they could encourage each other and they could see each other's lines and how they were doing in relationship to their goal. And it added a little bit of extra encouragement and pressure, and some of them liked it and some of them didn't. But it was a great way to sort of keep track of everybody and cheer everybody on when they were getting close to their goals. It was really cool. It was a really fun experience. So I have tried and abandoned NaNoWriMo a couple of times. When I was teaching, I just didn't have time and blah, blah, blah. But I've been working on this fiction and have had to go back and rip it apart and basically start over twice now with because of various problems I was having. And so I've decided it would just be a great way to focus on just that in November. So that's the plan. The catch is I will be traveling a lot in November. I will be traveling to Abu Dhabi. I will be there for a week, so I will be very jet lagged. I will be traveling to DC and New York and a bunch of other places. And so I've had to figure out how it's all going to work with that. So we'll see. We'll see how that goes. I'm excited to, at the very least, put all of my focus into writing the words that month.
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be really fun. And I just thinking about the traveling, and I guess a funny thing about NaNo for me is that it basically the goal of NaNoWriMo is to write 55,000 words of a novel. And that amounts to 1,667 words a day. That'll give you, I think, an extra 5 words. It's 1,666.666, you know what I mean. That's not that many words. It's funny because sometimes that feels like a lot of mm-hmm. words. Sometimes it doesn't feel like very many words. The way to have it not feel like that many words is to have pre-written and know what you're writing. Or, on the other hand, I think it's to know that what you're working on probably is the pre-writing, that you're just riffing. Mm-hmm. So, you know, to just type 1,667 words that are either words that you have already planned out or words where you're not worrying about whether or not you've planned them out, that's mm-hmm. that's pretty doable. I have done NaNo. I've done it multiple times. The Chicken Sisters came from NaNo playing the witch card. I did draft partly during NaNo last year. I think I did the whole thing. I don't remember if I quote unquote won. I feel like I got derailed for some copy editing, possibly.
I thought Chicken Sisters was also a result of NaNo.
Yeah. Chicken Sisters was absolutely a draft mm-hmm. of Chicken Sisters was created during a NaNoWriMo. So, and then I came up with this great plan that I was so delighted by back in, I just pulled it up, so it's going to be, okay, so in 2020, and in November of 2020, actually, so you don't laugh because it was already 2020 at that point, I came up with this plan that I really love to do NaNoWriMo better for me because I write long. And if I wanted to have a draft that was actually a draft of a book, which I apparently thought I was going to do in 2020, and I will say, I probably was working, I was definitely working on in, oh, I don't know. I don't remember what I was working on. You know, time is weird. It's, okay, now we've had that little diversion.
Yesterday I went to return something and she said, how long ago did you buy this? And I said, oh, about 2 months. And so we looked it up and she's like, no, that was like 10 months ago. And I'm like, yes, time has no meaning for me anymore. Sorry. Once I'm past 50, it's all over.
Yeah. It's just, there's nothing. And I also got my booster yesterday.
Well done.
I'm I'm really flaky. So excuse the flakiness and let us get back to my brilliant NaNoWriMo plan, which really is a brilliant plan and has worked for me, although not in November necessarily, which was, so if your goal is 55,000 words and you are me, when you hit 55,000 words, what you're going to be at is the middle, because I write long. I have been working on figuring out how not to write long for a long time now, and I think I'm getting there. But part of that process was to just take a hold of NaNoWriMo and go, okay, if it's 55,000 words and it's 1,660 words per day, then I need to divide up the time and the words and just be a little more rigid about this, because I do think of a book as divided up into three sections, the beginning, the middle, and the end. You can divide those as Save the Cat sections. You can divide those as Write with Your Pants Off sections. You know, all of the, there's all kinds of ways to divide them up. But if the beginning is the status quo and the inciting incident, and the middle is the middle and has a peak in the middle, and the end is the end, and on this last thing that I wrote, the end was quite the adventurous thing. Then to put 6 days or 10,000 words on the beginning, 18 days and 30,000 words on the middle, and 6 days and 10,000 words on the end, that's going to give you like a book. And so in order to do that, I would just throw down some pre-writing or write what I thought was going to be there and then move on. I do allow myself to move around. Like if I spend a couple days on the end in the middle, then, you know, and that's, there's no rigidity to this. You're not going to end up with a book that you can publish at 55,000 words after a month of work. But I just wanted to end up with something that was more, I can write beginnings all day long. I wanted to end up with something that had a middle and an end.
The good thing about this project for me is that I've been through a false start. Jenny Nash went over the outline for this book and really liked it and gave me a whole bunch of fantastic suggestions, which also then resulted in me trashing pretty much everything I had written. So thank goodness I hadn't written a lot. But it was also that getting the cobwebs out kind of writing, you know, trying it in one person, trying it in another person, that kind of thing. You know, is this the start or is that the start? That kind of stuff. And so I actually feel really good about all of that preliminary work, even though a lot of it's going to end up in the garbage can, because it was the work I needed to do in order to really see what the shape of this book. And so I've done that preliminary work. I have an outline. I have the pre-writing done for big chunks of it. So I think this will be a really fun time for me to stop being so planny about it and actually get in and start really getting the words done, because I now can really see and hear these characters in a way that I couldn't before. So I had to rethink one person completely. That person, that character has completely changed, because it wasn't that my first thought about who this person would be just was not serving the story. So it's really been fun to get through all of that stuff, as picky as that stuff can be. It's been really good to get past it.
Well, a thing I did to prepare for this episode was to pull out the things that we've done in the past about NaNoWriMo. Mm-hmm. So in the show notes, you will find the last couple of episodes we've done about Nano. And also I'll put our episode on pre-writing, which I want to talk more about in a minute. But I happened to find my words from November 4th of last year. I've saved them as with the word nano in them. So they popped up. So I was just looking to see if any of this, first of all, the protagonist has a totally different name, as does her mother. The daughter has the same name. None of these words are in the current.
That's so funny.
None. Let's see.
And yet again, very important.
But you know what? The people are not dissimilar. Yeah. I mean, none of these words are in here. None. No, I mean, you know, some of the word like the is in here for sure. And stuff like that. But but the general stuff and who the people are as I was figuring them out is all in here, is all in the
the current draft of it anyway. God knows which draft that
is. I even have the folders. I have the document on Scrivener with the folders, with the chapters and all that stuff. So now it's just all about the words.
So I wanted to talk for a second about pre-writing, it's glorious in terms of if you're preparing to write something, but it counts as nano words. So something that I have begun to do, especially if I'm trying to figure out if a scene is going to end up in the final or if it's heading in the right direction, is I'll just type out just a mess of, typically for me, the way a scene grows is from dialogue. So I'll just type out a mess of dialogue that's like, what? No. Really? Seriously? Yes. But you promised me that your mother would take the car. Yeah, well, the car's not here. No quotation marks. No who said what. And sometimes when I go back and grab that, I do end up reading it going, well, which character did I think was talking here? Just a bad sign. But I have noticed that when I do that, I get really very speedy stuff that moves along quickly. And sometimes I can just cut and paste it, shove it into the real work, and add some quotation marks and some punctuation, and it works. I guess for me, that's one of the ways of freeing myself from the whole, I have a real tendency to spend a lot of time she said as she sipped her tea and put it down in the saucer. She preferred her teacups on a saucer, because otherwise you've got a ring of tea on the table and there was nowhere to put your sugary spoon. I can do that for hours. But that's not, like, all that stuff about the tea, it makes no difference if the thing she said, if you're not taking the car, doesn't show up. You're just left with, like, tea.
That's fascinating. I'm still doing what Serena taught me to do, or it could have been you, or maybe you guys agreed on it, which is to just, when I'm done with one thing, to have that, you know, the lines, like six lines about where I'm headed next, what I've planned to do next. And that has been a game changer for me. That's fascinating about the dialogue, though. That never would have occurred to me, but I really think that's a cool idea.
That's what the pre-writing often ends up, and it's the same thing that Serena and I had talked about, the pre-writing where you're like, you know, next they're going to go into the restaurant and they're going to make the cookies and he's going to offer her a burger, but she's vegan or whatever. I mean, it's that, but I find that it comes out pretty, a lot of the time that comes out for me as dialogue more than this is what's going to happen.
That's really cool. That's really cool.
Yeah, I mean, it's in this past revision, it was one of the most successful techniques that I used. And, you know, watch for a full episode on this revision.
Well, and I'm listening to all of this because this is all so new to me. I don't know what's going to end up working for me. And that's been kind of the fun part of this as well.
What works evolves, right? You know, it doesn't have to stay the same. The thing for me about nano, especially if you do... I mean, I swear, I would just force myself to write an end of a book in the last 6 days, even if the book wasn't anywhere close to the end. Because I would personally have something a lot closer to something that I could turn into a real book if I had only the ending. Because that's the part that I don't, that's hard to get to, where I think I know how it's going to end and it doesn't. Or I just keep writing my way towards it. I mean, the number of scenes in the revision that I just did that didn't end up in the final thing because they didn't really matter in terms of getting the end is extraordinary. So to me, to just, write your way to finding the characters and write your way to finding the story and then come up with that end and that moment when people yell at the protagonist and tell the protagonist what they need to do and the moment that the protagonist figures out and the dramatic moment when the villain does or doesn't, you know, shriek out their plot, whatever you've got. That, to me, is the stuff that's it's the easiest to never get to, if that makes any sense.
While you were talking, I texted my husband, who is also working on some fiction, and I said, you should do NaNoWriMo with me in November. So we'll see what he says. That would be really fun, considering now that it's just the two of us and the dogs in this house, it's been really fun to reshape our time according to just us, and so... we could become a very quiet, very writerly household in November. So we'll see what happens.
That would be fun. I've never NaNoWriMo'd with a friend or certainly not a partner, that definitely get me going. I am going to get this revision landed back in my lap the day before y'all hear this episode. So I know that there's no NaNoWriMo-ing for me.
Well,
this year.
We do this fun thing when Tim and I were in graduate school. We used to go to a cafe in Chapel Hill, a Caribou Coffee in Chapel Hill, North Carolina, and work, you know, parallel play kind of working. He's doing his thing. I'm doing my thing. And we really loved that. That was pre-kids. That was, you know, all that stuff. So with kids, and during COVID, one of the things we would do is we set up what we call the Leahy Cafe in the dining room. And we have treats and we have good coffee and we have candles and we work. And that helped also get our kids to sort of work, you know, with us and, you know, oh, I'm setting up Leahy Cafe. Come on, there'll be snacks, blah, blah, blah.
So I think that's great.
So I'm thinking Leahy Cafe in November. And by the way, the text I just received from Tim says, throwing down the gauntlet, huh? So, yes.
Yeah,
yes,
that's
I am.
How I would have interpreted it if I were Tim. I wish I could join this competition.
Yeah. Yeah, a little friendly competition is never a bad thing.
No, a little friendly competition is excellent. Yep. So finding some buddies would be a great way to go with this.
Well, and I think that's why it was so much fun in the classroom, because we were sharing progress with each other each day and all that stuff. It's good to have a cheering section.
And when I'm doing this, I totally can't. I would totally count world building or character sketches or any of that. It depends on what stage of the writing you're at. If I knew my story, then I would do that approach with the beginning, the middle, and the end. But if I were to do it this year, I got nothing. I don't have any. I could pick among a couple of things that I've been thinking about, but I don't have a story that I have blueprinted or been playing with. So I would just count all of that and count it towards my 55,000 words. Because that's fun too. As long as you're, it's just so much fun. And so the energy is great. The being part of it. You know, the hashtags. The doing it all at once. And for me, the getting it in even on the days when it seems impossible, just so that you can keep up. I know what I like to do is to look at the calendar and go, okay, these days are flat out impossible.
Like yeah, Thanksgiving.
The day
yeah.
before Thanksgiving. Well, Thanksgiving actually doesn't tend... Thanksgiving tends to have some possibility, but the day... But it depends on whether I'm cooking.
Right.
But maybe the day before doesn't. And then to redo the math. So it's not... It's probably 1,800 words a day because you've probably lost it.
I'm hosting this year with both of my children and my parents. And there may be spare people here from my daughter's college who don't have anywhere else to go or live too far away that they can't get home. So it's going to be a very full house for Thanksgiving. So we'll see just how much gets done. But the nice thing about that, I think, is since 1660 in terms of words a day is absolutely doable, you know, you can preload and, you know, maybe get ahead, do an extra writing session here and there. So, you know, I'm staring down that 13-hour flight between Abu Dhabi and JFK and thinking a lot of words could happen. I have to sleep, but a lot of words can happen during a 13-hour flight there and then 13-hour flight back. Yeah.
Ouch. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Because reasons, I have promised to either cook or provide Thanksgiving dinner in someone else's house. I don't know. I may just throw money at that problem.
Yeah, I actually, I did that.
We can call Boston Market,
the
right?
The only thing worse than hosting Thanksgiving and doing all the cooking is doing all the cooking and then transporting it to someone else's house. I have done that, and it's not something I would recommend.
Well, and this involves an airplane, so
yes.
I just have to cook
yeah.
it in someone else's house. There is
yeah.
no.
Yeah.
It's my carry-on turkey.
Actually, you say that
on the platter.
You say that, but
someone's done
Tim's
it.
Grandmother, Someone. Who never ever would let a good turkey carcass go to waste, actually did fly home with a turkey carcass in her take on carry on luggage so that she could make stock when she got home.
That's magical. I don't think I'm going
okay.
to do that.
All right. So above and beyond the planning ahead and having sort of a plan in mind for your words and having your pre-writing, is there anything else you would recommend that people need to go into November with so that they can just be ready to go and hit the ground running on November 1st?
So, well, it did happen, as I believe you know, to have this cute little checklist that I made.
See, now you've messed up with the mystery. The whole mystery was I'm doing this really just improv segue that was not at all part of my thinking because I already knew you had this queued up, but fine. Just go. Just say it.
just yes. Sorry. So I have a little NaNoWriMo prep checklist for y'all, and I will put a link in the show notes. But what it really is it's a checklist, and I made it a few years ago. It is about making sure that what you're working on is an actual story. So who's your protagonist? What's happening with them? I'm looking at it right now. It's like, whose story is this? What train is heading straight for them? Why don't they just get off the tracks? It's a bunch of things that you need to think about so that you can be sure that what you end up with is a story that has some heart and something at stake and things like that. And it's got some cute pictures of typewriters and skeletons on it.
Very cool.
I was just skimming through it, but I will put that out there for y'all. But another suggestion that I would absolutely have for you is to pick up Jenny Nash's blueprint for a book, the fiction version. You can get it in print or you can download it. You could also, if you want to kind of cross over blueprint for a book with NaNoWriMo, I feel like it would be perfectly fair to work on a blueprint at the beginning of NaNo and then go into your novel writing process. And really, if NaNo is going to steer you in the wrong direction, you know, if you're going to end up with 55,000, you're going to end up with 55,000 useless words almost no matter what you do. But to have them be words that are geared towards the actual story that you end up writing, doing some blueprinting would be super helpful. And the other thing that I just happened to have just done is to organize the entire summer session that we did on the hashtag MWriting program or podcast about blueprinting your book into an easy to reference little list of what episodes and what the assignments are. And if you sign up for the show notes, what you will get immediately is a list of all the Blueprint for a Book podcast, as well as the download for the Blueprint for a Book worksheets. If you sign up for the show notes and sign up to support the podcast, which we love. It's super helpful for us. You also get links for all the bonus episodes that we did. But, you know, if that's not in the budget right now, sign up for the free weekly show notes and you'll still get really what you need to complete the blueprint. And if you're already signed up for the show notes, you got that like last week. So go look for it because I'm sending it out when I finish it because it shouldn't only be for people who just started, right?
I'm excited for people to hear some of the guests we're going to be having on this year because a couple of them are people whose books were written while they were sort of using the podcast for inspiration. And I'm really excited for that. But so one of the things I wanted, before we start talking about what we've been reading, I do want to throw out a couple of books that started as NaNoWriMo book for in NaNoWriMo projects for inspiration. Some of you may know that the book Water for Elephants by Sarah Gruen started as a NaNoWriMo book, as did Rainbow Rowell's Fangirl started as a NaNoWriMo book. And the book Cinder by Marissa Meyer and the book The Night Circus by Erin Morgenstern. All of these started as NaNoWriMo projects. So no, you are not going to have a completed book done at the end of, you know, the month with the 55,000 words, but you will have something that is a tangible progress toward that finished book. It's a very cool thing. So it can be done. It can be wonderful. It can be a thing. It can be a book. So get out there and do it. And I'm just going to do a lot of teasing of my husband this evening and get him on board with me.
I love it. All right, well, let's take a just take a little minute, take a breath, and let's talk about what we have been reading lately. All right, you want to start?
I do.
You read anything good lately, my friend? I knew you would.
I do, well, because one of them is a Serena Bowen book. Her latest best-selling book is A Little Too Late, and I loved it. It's a whole new series that she started. It's this Madigan Mountain series, and it's like new characters, new setting, set in Colorado. It's really lovely. It was really fun to read her going with in a different direction with a different world. You know, she spins these whole worlds that I feel like I'm a part of, and this is a whole new one now that I feel like I'm part of. So A Little Too Late, that was really great. And then I have to say, two other books I read that I want to give a shout out to. I read Mad Honey by Jodi Picoult and Jenny Finney Boylan. And for those of you who had not heard, Jenny Finney Boylan had a dream that she wrote a book with Jodi, and it had just a little snippet of sort of what the essence of the book was going to be. And she tweeted at Jodi, publicly tweeted out that she dreamed that she wrote this book with Jodi, and she and Jodi messaged back and forth, and Jodi was like, yeah, let's do this thing. And it took them 5 years to get to the point where the book was really happening because they were both committed to other things. But I really, really enjoyed it. I enjoyed it because this is not a spoiler, it involves a trans character and I have a trans daughter. And so there were just lots of really cool things for me to think about in there. And then finally, I read a book that I was predisposed to hate. And she got me. She got me. The author got me. I liked it a lot. I was predisposed. It's a thriller. So I was predisposed to, oh, I've got this all figured out. And there's no way that she's going to fool me. And she did. It's a book by Ashley Flowers, who is the one of the co-hosts of the Crime Junkie podcast. And her book, which is a crime thriller, All Good People Here, it's set in Indiana, small town Indiana, and it's a delight, I have to say. She got me. She tricked me. I thought I had it all figured out like three different times. And I had parts of it figured out, but not the whole entire thing. And I really enjoyed it. And I really got sunk into that world, that small town Indiana world. I really liked it a lot.
I started that one. And I agree that the world building and just being in it and what's good. It's really hard. I thought it was really hard to figure out what was going on and what was going to happen. And I haven't finished it yet. But I've enjoyed what I read so far. So that's the kind of book where, and one thing I say about a lot of books is if the back cover copy appeals to you, it delivers.
Yeah.
And I think you can definitely say about that one. I mean, sometimes I say that. And what I actually mean is the back cover copy does not appeal to me, but you know, if it appeals to you, that's not what I'm saying here. I think it's an important, like if it doesn't sound like you'll like it. Some books, on the other hand, you're like, for example, Catherine Newman's We All Want Impossible Things. I don't care how you feel about the back cover copy of that book. Go.
Everyone has to read this book. It is so good.
Yes, you must read it.
So good. But the cool thing about Ashley Flowers, I think, is she loves true crime. She's been doing Crime Junkie for a long time. She had a lot of, you know, stuff to draw from. And I think I just went into it thinking that it was going to be, okay, I'll take a little of this and I'll take a little of that and I'll just layer it all in and I'll just make a book work. She did some really skillful putting out some red herrings that weren't too obvious, but just obvious enough so that aficionados of the genre would go, ooh, that's an important detail, and then run with it or not run with it. She just did a really good job of bringing it all together in the end in a way that was surprising. I liked it. Yeah.
Cool. Well, that makes me look forward to finishing it even more. And I read this cold. I think I actually have an advance of it, although it's out. So when you have an advance, you don't have the back cover copy. And you don't have I had the back cover copy, but you don't have the bio of the person. I didn't know this person had a true crime podcast. So I sort of didn't go into it with any of that, like, oh, well, this is where they're getting their information. That's really interesting.
Yeah, she has a lot. That, because the podcast is so popular, and she talked about it a lot as she was writing it and as mm-hmm. it was coming out on the podcast, mm-hmm. you know, it's done really, really well. And I have to say the audio version, which is how I consumed this book, was fantastic. Really good audio version.
Cool. Yeah. Good to know. Little star there for the audio version. So I already mentioned We All Want Impossible Things, which I read it a while ago, but it is just coming out like in the week after y'all hear this. It is from Catherine Newman, who's been a guest on the yep. podcast. She has, hasn't she? Yeah, she's amazing. She's so much fun because she's a genre hopper extraordinaire. She's got, she's written an etiquette column for Real Sample for many years. She's written these middle grade fiction. My kid's favorite middle grade fiction when he was a middle grader. It was an IKEA take on the Mixed Up Files of Mrs. Basil Lee Frankweiler, and now I'm going to have to look it up and put it in the show notes. And now she's got this incredible, incredible novel. And again, like, don't even read the back cover copy, especially if you don't like to read things that might potentially be sad, because this might potentially be sad, but it also might potentially make you snort your coffee out your nose because it's so funny. And it's just excellent.
I devoured it in pretty much one extended sitting because I could not put it down. And I have to say about Catherine Newman, I was a fan before I ever met her. I had not met her. I loved her work. She was sort of one of those people that the thing that I love about Catherine Newman is she somehow figures out a new way to convey emotions that other people have conveyed a million times in writing, and she somehow finds a new way. And yep. I'm just in awe of her.
That is what she does. Well, speaking yep. of consuming something all in one sitting, I had this book called Reluctant Immortals by Gwendolyn Keist. And it is the story of a woman, I don't know the Dracula, the classic mm-hmm. of Dracula, so I don't know where she fits in. But Bride of Dracula, basically, and Rochester's first wife in 1970s Hyde Asbury, reluctant immortals, they are, that's exactly what they are, finding their own stories in a world in which the stories of the men who put them in this position cool. dominate everything. And I had this book, and I had an advance of it, and I had a stack of books that I carried into the living room thinking, all right, I'm going to look at these and decide if I'm actually going to read them or if it's time for them to go, because I've been sitting around for a little while. So I picked up Reluctant Immortals and I turned to the first page to see if perhaps I was actually going to read it or not. And I had my doubts because I'm not a Dracula fan. I'm not a fan of Jane Eyre. I don't really like horror. I'm not into historical fiction. It's 1970s Hyde Asbury. None of that appeals to me. 4 hours later, I looked up, having basically finished this book, it is so satisfying, so entertaining. It has everything. Cool. If you do love Dracula and Jane Eyre, it's going to, you know, I think you're going to get a huge kick out of it, unless you're a purist, in which case I guess maybe that's not your thing. If you do love any of those things, you'll like it. But even if you don't, it was a ride, man. I really enjoyed it. Good.
Cool. I'm putting that on my list.
Seasonal read. This podcast will be dropping, like, grab that for this weekend. That would be like okay. a really tasty little Halloween read for you.
Very cool. All right. I think that wraps everything up. We are so grateful that you are hanging in with us. And I hope whoever does NaNoWriMo, head on over to the our Facebook group, because I think what I might do is, since I'm going to be doing NaNoWriMo, I'll just be doing a lot of checking in there and cheering other NaNoWriMo people along. So you can go to the hashtag AmWriting Facebook group, which is a very supportive place and a lot of fun to hang out.
Yeah. And if you would like to get that little NaNoWriMo prep checklist of mine, you'll need to be signed up for the show notes, or this will be in our show notes. And if you do want to go back and do Blueprint for a Book, again, sign up for the show notes or sign up to support the podcast and get all the bonus episodes as well. And the other thing I want to mention, if you're signed up for the show notes, is that I've been doing write-alongs Perhaps Jess will host some ride-alongs. I don't know. We haven't discussed this. I'm just throwing it out there at her at this moment. But we've been doing 2 to 3 weekly ride-alongs, having, you know, 5, 10, 15 people pile in there, sit there quietly for 2 hours, talk for a few minutes, and then sign out. And people have reported getting everything from academic work to, as someone told me today, she was like, I busted through the wall like the Kool-Aid Man! And I was like, you go, Juliana. You go. It's an awesome moment. So, join us for the ride-alongs, and you won't get the dates for those unless you are signed up for the show notes. All right. I think we've said all the things. Cool. Yep. I love it.
All right. Until next week, everyone, keep your butt in the chair and your head in the game. The Hashtag AmWriting podcast is produced by Andrew Perella. Our intro music, aptly titled Unemployed Monday, was written and played by Max Cohen. Andrew and Max were paid for their time and their creative output because everyone deserves to be paid for their work.
Listeners, if you're not already signed up to get our emails, you should be. Last week, email subscribers got links to 3 pop-up ride-alongs with me, KJ, and there are more coming, along with thoughts on revision, TikTok, and more that'll only go out to subscribers. Pop your name on the list at amwritingpodcast.com.